Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. While you're going there, I just want to say again, last night, tonight, tomorrow, I'm talking about the same thing and us getting from glory to glory. And one of the things that I want to share tonight is that there's this aspect, I sort of started hitting on this a little bit last night, but we think in the church that sometimes that the glory is all about prayer services and falling down and awesome, amazing worship and all that kind of stuff. But there's a lot more to it, and sometimes the things that cause us to walk in revival, the real world revival we were talking about last night, sometimes those things don't seem very glorious, and they're very practical. But when we do the very practical things, then God pours out His glory.
Yeah.
And I want to share with you, last night we talked about walking in holiness and walking according to the Word, walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and walking in unity. And those are keys. I want to give you another key tonight, and that's honor. Honor is something that God has been speaking into our church as a point of emphasis for probably 6 or 8 months now. And I shared with you all last night what God's been doing. God has been pouring out miracles and signs and wonders. And it's not like you have to make up something that happened 2 years ago anymore. It's like there's a testimony today to make up for the one that happened yesterday. You know, and it's awesome. And I believe personally it's directly... in many ways, it's directly related to the subject of honor, because it's not me as the pastor that's doing everything, and it's not the leaders of the church that are doing everything. It's the body acting like the body, and when the body acts like the body, and when the body recognizes in each other what each other has, what you're carrying, then I can get where I need to get in God. You know what I'm saying? Who's the sister that got healed of cancer back here? I'm always looking forward. This sister that's got healed from cancer, if you need a healing in your body, you need to go to her, because she knows what it's like to get healed. You don't have to come to the pastor all the time or come to the leaders all the time. Now, that's good. You should. Okay? We're going to talk about that a little bit too. But we're a body. Okay? And one of the things that I think afflicts the body is that we downplay other people. And we upgrade, you know, well, the pastor, I've got to go to the pastor, and he has to be the one to pray. If I'm going to get a healing, I've got to go to him. And the truth be told, somebody else in the church might have the gift of healing.
Hello.
Might have the gift of wisdom. And if I go to somebody that doesn't have it, it's not that we can't pray and God doesn't use anybody. But, you know, the Word of God tells us there's special gifts. We're going to read that in a second. Okay, and so if we've got that gift, I want to go to the one that's got the gift. But if I don't recognize who God is in you, and I say, well, I don't want to receive that because, you know, you're not up to my level or my standard, or you're not, you don't dress right, you don't look right, you don't smell right, you don't do whatever, then you miss. You miss out on what God wants. While we're thinking that we're being spiritual, we're missing out on what God wants when we don't operate as a body. The Summer of Miracles thing is not just your pastor and your worship team leading Church Without Walls this summer. This is you going out into the community and out into the region, and you taking God and you recognizing and honoring what God is doing in everybody else, so that we can work as a team. We can work as a body where there's no jealousy and there's no envy and there's no strife and there's no worry, because if God wants to use somebody else, I'll be honest with you. Pastor Larry, Pastor Gary, get up here, or your pastor, or the young man back there. I don't care. Come up here. If God hits you and you're going to preach, I'll sit down and let you preach if that's what God's doing. It's not going to offend me. It's not going to hurt my feelings. I want to go where God wants to go.
Amen.
Amen? If we cultivate a culture of honor, then we will be able to see God do so much more. Synergy. You guys know what synergy is? Synergy is when one can do this much and one can do that much, but you put them together and they can do 10, 15, 20 times as much. Okay? And that's what honor does in a church. And so let me just get to it. Matthew chapter 10, verse 40. Man, this is powerful. He who receives you... Now who's saying this? What color is this in your Bible?
Yes.
It's red. Okay? Now listen to what he says. He who receives you... He's talking about you. He who receives you receives me. Amen? What did Jesus just say there? If I receive you and I honor you and I see God in you, I'm not just receiving you, I'm receiving Him. Okay? He who receives you receives me. And he who receives me receives Him who sent me. Who sent Him? God the Father. So let's just break this down. If I receive you and what God is doing in you and I honor you, I receive Christ. And if I receive Christ, I receive God the Father. And so if I receive you, I'm receiving God the Father. That's a good word. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. This is all about honor. How many of you want to be blessed? How many of you want to walk in favor and anointing and the blessing and the reward of God? Do you know that you can walk in that and you can receive blessing and honor and reward for things that you did not even do? I'll let that sink in for a minute. When you honor somebody else, you receive a reward that you may not even have had a hand in. Because you saw, you heard, you supported, you lifted up, you prayed for that other person that's going out and doing something else that you're not doing, and you receive the reward for what they do. And be double, triple, quadruple blessed, and you're just doing what God told you to do. Honor means to regard with high respect or esteem, okay? Now here's my thing. I think that lack of honor in the church, lack of honor of our leaders, you have an amazing pastor. Okay? And I know that we go, yeah, we have an amazing pastor, but I'm sure that it does, but I just want to ask you, are your actions backing up the fact that you believe you have an amazing and awesome pastor? Do you support him? Do you lift him up? Do you encourage him? Do you see him as the spiritual leader? Because when you do, you receive a greater reward from God. Okay? So honor means to regard with high respect or esteem. And I think a lot of times in the church, we're so focused on making sure that people will honor us and that people will receive us, we forget that the problem is not people honoring us, it's us honoring other people. Okay? Now, I just put this in my notes. I wrote, when we refuse to honor others, we cannot receive all that God has for us, because God's full blessing can only happen in the context of community. You cannot receive all of God's blessing in your life on your own, because it's not the way God intended it. It's not the way He built it. And He built it that way on purpose because we're prideful people. He knows that we'll run off in every direction doing our own thing and then think that we can do it all on our own. He says, no, let's all come back. If you want to be fully blessed, you got to be in the body. You've got to bring your gift and your talent, your ability, and you've got to find your place in the body so that you can support everybody else's gift, talents, and abilities. And then we become a force for the kingdom of God. I don't want to be a BB gun for the kingdom of God. I want us to be bazookas. I want our church to be a force. I want your church. Listen, on Saturday I'm going home. I say this almost every time I go somewhere else. I come for 3 days and I'm going home. You will be here. And my prayer for you is that you will be a force in Shelton, Washington for the kingdom of God. Amen. A force. Not well, we're just you trying to do a good work for the good Lord and we'll just do our best until Jesus comes back. No, a force for the kingdom of God. Where there's signs and wonders and miracles and a city that's being transformed and a county that's being transformed for the kingdom of God. I want to hear testimonies that the New Horizons Church in Renton's Word of Life. I want to hear testimonies that there is a force moving for the kingdom of God, and that force can't happen as individuals. It can't happen. And we live in a culture where we want to esteem the big shot, the big name preacher, and we think, well, if I could just get to this guy or just get to that guy, and I'm telling you, the same power that lies within that guy lies within you right here. But I cannot receive if I will not honor that He's doing that in you. Okay? I got to move on here. So what do we get from that verse, Matthew 10, verse 40? He who receives you receives me. He who receives me receives him who sent me. What is the opposite of that? If I do not receive you, I'm not receiving him. Yes. That's why it's so important, especially that we honor our godly leadership. Because if we reject the godly leadership because of who we think we are, then we're not rejecting the leadership. We're rejecting Christ. Because He has set that leadership over us. Okay? And I'm poking at leadership, but it's not really about leadership. If you'll notice in these verses, He says, receives a prophet, receives a righteous man, and gives a little one a cup of cold water. That's the person over you and the person with you. If you've ever seen John Bevere, if you've ever listened to Honor's Reward, if you've ever been through that series, he says the person above you, the person next to you walking with you, and the person that may be under you, that you have to honor all of those in order to receive God's full reward. Okay? So here's the thing. When I honor Christ in you, I am honoring Christ Himself. And when I honor Christ Himself, then He pours out His blessing on me. Okay? So, laying a foundation here, then we're going to go somewhere. Let me read to you a really long passage, but it's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says, "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all things, distributing to each one individually as He wills." That's important to think. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members are of one body, being many, they are one body, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were also baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the foot, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on those we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." Okay, this is, "If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, variety of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way." Now, I know that was a lot, okay? But it's important to where I want to go. How many of you want everything that God wants for you? Yeah. Amen? You want everything that God wants for you? Then God says, take what I've given you. The brother shared this earlier, and somebody else said this. There was a vision maybe of the chasm. That I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy. I feel like I'm not doing anything for God. I feel like what I'm doing is not as good as what Keith is doing. Or it's not as good as what Pastor Gary is doing or Pastor Larry or whatever. I feel like I'm not doing as much. But we have that mentality because we've built a culture in the church based on who's doing what. And we think that certain people are more important and certain people are less important to the kingdom of God. And the reason I wanted to read this whole scripture is to point out to you, God says, "As I will, I have given these gifts to you, and your gift is not more or less. Your gift is exactly what I need your gift to be so that you can fill your place in the body." Okay? And so if we change our mindset to believe that my gift, no matter how great or how small in my eyes, is not really about me in the first place. My gift is not for me. My gift is for the body. Then all of a sudden I find my place. Keith finds his place. My wife finds her place. Pastor Larry finds his place. Stephen finds his place. And all of a sudden we come together and we become that force. Okay, so we have to get over the mentality that my gift is either more than everybody else or that my gift, well, I'm just a lowly, bummed out, lousy worm. I hear people say that. Well, I'm just a worm. Well, you know, the Bible says that we're all just worms. Listen, the Bible says we're worms before we come into relationship with Christ. When we come into relationship with Christ, He says we are chosen. We are royal. We are a holy nation, a royal priesthood. That from before we were born, He formed us in the womb. And that He knew our days. And He planned our life. And He set things in order for us so that we could be and do exactly what we needed to be and do. Okay? You're not a worm. You're not less than. Your gift isn't less than because you can't play a guitar or preach or sing or administrate or do any of those things. God says, I want to give to you as I will. As I will, I give to you. And we need to be very, very careful because we tread on some rough ground when we start saying to God, Lord, why isn't my gift as good as everybody else's gift? I feel like I'm not as good. I'm not as worthy because God says, I gave you that gift. If you have a child or a spouse or a friend and you get this gift and you say, man, at Christmas time, I can't wait to give them this gift. And you give it to them and they go, well, that's not very good. How would you feel? I mean, you can't wait. You can't wait to, here, I give my wife this gift and I'm so excited that she's going to receive this gift and she receives it and she just goes, oh, well, this is not very good. It's not as good as Jesus' gifts. How would you feel? How do you think God the Father feels when from before the foundations of time? He said, I put your days together. I put plans and purposes together for your life. And I can't wait for the day when you're going to be born so I can release these gifts into you. And then we go, oh, well, I'm just not that good. No, what I'm trying to tell you is, what God has made you is exactly what you need to be part of this force that's moving through the community for the kingdom of God. Okay? So the opposite side of that is that we all of a sudden become very prideful about our gifts. Well, whoa, look at me. I am an apostle. I am a prophet. I'm a worship leader. When I worship, when I lead worship, I am a worship leader at my church. When I lead worship, strongholds are broken down. Lives are changed. People fall on the floor under the anointing of my worship. I bring up that particular one because we were discussing that today. That among worship leaders, that's an epidemic, that they think they're a little bit better than everybody else. I think maybe that goes back to Lucifer being the one that played music, but we don't want to go there. But I just bring that. It doesn't have to be that. It could be the administrator, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, the children's church leader. And they think that all of a sudden my gift is a little bit better than everybody else's gift. And so, ooh, look at me. Everybody look at me and bow down to me and worship my gift. Worship who I am in the body. And I am the I am of this body. It happens, does it not? So on one side, you got people thinking they're worms that won't step into what God wants. And then you got people that, because of pride, are stepping out of what God wants because they think there's something else. And I'm telling you, we need to get to the place where we just humbly say, God, put me where you want me to be and let me be the servant. Let me be the one that you need me to be. If you want me to prophesy, I'll prophesy. If you sit me down, you can sit me down. If you want me to worship, I'll worship. If you want me to teach, I'll teach. And I'm not going to question you. I'm just going to humbly come before you. And say, Lord, you lead me. You place me in that place. If I yank my nose off and put it on my foot and try to walk on my nose, I'm not going to make it very far. Because my nose is a nose and it's going to stink. You know what I'm saying? What the scripture says, is my nose less than my foot? No, my foot's my foot and my nose my nose. Okay? And so the questions that he asks in this verse, he says, are all teachers, are all prophets, are all workers of miracles? The answer to that is no. Not everybody moves in every gift. Sorry to burst some bubbles. Can God do that in you? Absolutely, if He chooses to. But do you know why He doesn't? Because we get full of pride. And so he says, I want to give to you the gift of healing and to you the gift of miracles and to you the gift of prophecy. And when we put all these things together, it's like a big, gigantic puzzle. And we got a piece here, and we put them all together. We see what God really wants us to be as a body. Okay? Now keep hanging with me. I'm going to get somewhere with this. You know, in my church, I have, Pastor Larry and Stephen will know, Maria. Tim and Maria. Maria, Tim is a white guy that's about 6'8", and he's huge. And Maria is about 5'4", and she's Hispanic. And they're married to each other. Okay? So it's a, you wouldn't put them together if you didn't think. Okay? But she's one of the most fiery evangelists that I know. Somebody was talking last night about the prison ministry. They started a prison ministry a year and a half ago, and they started in one room because they thought, well, it'll just be a little thing, and then it grew, and they put them in another room, now they're about to put them in what they call the Freedom Hall at our prison, and it's the biggest room on the facility, for them to have their recovery program, which is completely Bible-based. So now they're getting everybody saved every week. And they have a place in the jail that they call Little Narnia. Because all the Christians that are being saved through the safe group go to this one little area and they all talk and they study the Word together and they witness to the other and they get them saved and then they bring them in. So there's a place in our Shutter Creek Correctional Facility now that the inmates call Little Narnia because that's where all the Christians hang out. Okay? That's amazing. You want to know something? I'm not that guy. I'm not that evangelist. That's not what God has gifted me to do. Do I evangelize? Yes. Do I preach? Will people get saved? Yes. But my gifting is not as an evangelist. My gifting is as a teacher. Not even as a preacher. My gifting is as a teacher. I know this is a revival, but what I want to do is open my Bible and start breaking down Greek words to you. It's what I do. Woo! We love Greek words. Yes. It's what I do. And I'm not saying, listen, I want to say this, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying it arrogantly. I can teach. Okay? I don't know about this whole preaching thing, but I can teach. And I can take stuff that people have a hard time understanding, and I can break it down and hand it to them in a way that makes them be able to understand. I've said that my greatest thing that I love is when we have a Bible study and somebody says, I've never seen that before. Okay? Do I think I'm anything? No, God just decided that that's what He wanted to do in me. And so that's why I can confidently say, this is what I do. I can also confidently say, I'm not an evangelist. You know what I'm saying? Anybody with me? Because if I recognize who I am, I can fit into where God wants me to be. And I can let the evangelist evangelize. And I can let the teachers teach. And I can let the preachers preach. And the worship leaders lead worship. And all of a sudden, we have this amazing thing that's going on. And I don't have to feel envy or jealousy toward the evangelist. I don't have to feel funny about the one that can preach better than me. I just say, praise God for who God made you. And I want to support that. I want to encourage that. I want to pray for that. And you do the same for me. And all of a sudden, all of these things, these jealousies, these envies, these little divisions, these little foxes that get in and try to mess up the stuff, all of a sudden those things go away because the enemy has nothing that he can use us for. What does the enemy want to do? Oh, well, look at what these guys are doing. That's way better than what you do. And so I need to try to pull them down to my level so that we can look like equals. But when I understand the concept of honor, I can say, well, praise God, I hope that you launch out farther ahead of me, farther than I've ever been. And I'll just get in your draft and I'll just follow you and that will take me farther than I've ever been. I'm not a NASCAR fan, but my understanding is if you go fast enough and you get up right behind somebody, that will make your car go faster than your car can actually go because you're sucking the wind from the guy in front of you. There you go. Okay? What? Why would we not want that? Why are there so many jealousies? Why do I have to make sure that you know that I'm good enough and I'm well enough and I'm worthy enough for you to listen to what I say instead of me just being who I am, you be who you am. And I say, if I need something from you, can I come to you? Can I get it? I need you to pray for me. You're a prayer warrior, an intercessor. Can you just lay hands on me? I need you to pray for me. I need you to help me with this person that I'm trying to witness to because I'm not getting through to them. Okay, you guys know what I'm saying here? What I'm saying is with great giftings should come great humility. We have to walk humble. We have to walk humble. I did a Bible study. I'll give you one Greek word for the night. The word humble means to be down close to the ground. Okay? I mean, it literally means not far from the ground. And I was studying that out, and I was looking at that, and I thought to myself, the enemy is always trying to take my head off through pride, arrogance, jealousy, envy. But if I'm down low to the ground, he can't take my head off, because everything he shoots at me goes right over my head because I'm down low. And you know what else the thing is? Jesus said, come to me and you'll find rest because I'm lowly and I'm meek in heart. So if I'm down low to the ground, I'm down there where Jesus is. And if I'm down where Jesus is, then I'm going to be okay, because I'm just going to kind of go right alongside of him. When I was at basic training, we did the live fire exercise where they're shooting real bullets over your head. And I'm pretty sure they're like 25 feet in the air, but they're like, no, these things are right over your head. So you got to get down, you got to bury your face, and you got to just drag yourself. Low crawl, soldiers. You got to get down and drag. Because if I stand up, I'm going to take a bullet right in the head. I'm digging trails. There's a foot deeper where my face went across the ground because I don't want to get shot. There's a certain principle there. It's not that we get down and we muggle in the ground because we think we're worthless. It's because God needs to keep us humble so that we can be exalted. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and you'll be exalted. You'll be lifted up, okay? All right, let's move on. When I recognize that what you have to offer me is as great as what I have to offer you, I realize that I don't complete the body of Christ, but the body of Christ is not complete without me. I'm going to say that again. I don't complete the body of Christ. That's pride and arrogance. But without me, the body of Christ cannot be complete. That's humility. Okay? You as a church could go on. If I never came here and preached, you could go on and do just fine. I hope that I can come somewhere along these 3 days and encourage and lift you up and you know, challenge you to move forward. But if I never came here, you'd be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't complete the body of Christ. But maybe God can use me while I'm here to encourage you a little bit, or to challenge you, or to whatever He wants to do so that we can move forward. Okay? That puts it in a good perspective for me. That's why I pray when I get ready to pray, Lord, just please, just use me. Because I'm not thinking that anybody's going to come here falling down because I'm such a great, wonderful preacher. Lord, just let me say and do what you want me to say and do so that you can do what you need to do here. That's humility. But at the same time, I realize that God could use me and He could use you to flip a city or flip a church upside down just because we choose to be that, okay? There's no Lone Ranger gifts in the body of Christ. How many of you have ever heard that before? There's no Lone Rangers in the kingdom of God? Most of you just said yes. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. Even the Lone Ranger wasn't on his own. Okay? He had somebody that he went with. Okay, so I need what you've got. If you don't hear anything else that I say tonight, I want you to say this. I need what you've got. And your pastor needs what you've got. And you need what your pastor's got. We're in a church here that believes in the prophetic. I don't know who all the prophets are in this house. But listen to me, you prophets need your pastor. Because the pastor keeps the prophets from running off into some crazy directions. And when the prophet says, I don't need the pastor because my there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors. They're down here and prophets are up here. And so I don't need you. Then you're going to run off. I was sharing with somebody last night about the horse. A horse that's wild will just run here and there and expend a lot of energy and be very strong and do a lot of things and cover a lot of territory. But a horse that comes into submission, a horse that's broken, will run fast and will run strong and will become productive. Wild horses just run. Broken horses produce. What do we want to be? What do I want to be? Do I want to be a wild horse that's just doing stuff but accomplishing nothing? Or do I want to be somebody that's productive for the kingdom of God? For me to be productive, I've got to have spiritual leadership over me. And I have to be willing to set down my pride. There's a young lady in our church that I was texting with last night because she was upset about some things that were going on with her. And some people offered her some advice that she didn't like. And it upset her. Because she didn't like the way that it was said. And I said, some of the best advice I ever got came from people that didn't say it nicely. But just because they didn't say it nicely didn't mean I didn't need to receive it. You know what I'm saying? Does that mean your pastor is greater than you? No, it just means he's where God put him. And you're where God put you. And in that place, all of a sudden, we become that force. All right, last thing is this. In the place of honor, your reward becomes my reward. This is the good part, okay? In the place of honor, when I honor, I have no problem honoring Pastor Larry because I've gleaned so much off of him and his wife and his family over the years. It does not pain me to say he's a spiritual father to me. Well, that's weird. No, it's not. Because what he ministers to my congregation sets us free. And I need that. I want that. I desire that. And so I say when he comes in, I don't say, all right, here's what's going on in the church. We got this. I'd like for you to hit that from the pulpit. You hit this rebellion and hit this dishonor and hit this sin. And if you preach that, then they'll hear. No, I just say, come here and do whatever God wants you to do because I know that we're going to receive because we need what you've got. Okay. And so I reap a benefit from his gifting. This is what I want to get to. This is the good part. I reap a benefit from his gifting. I reap a benefit in two different ways. I reap a benefit, first of all, that I get what you have to give to me. Okay? But it's not just what you give to me, but when I connect with you, everything else you do, I'm also connected with. Every person that this church or Pastor Larry's church or whatever, every soul that's saved, I get to be a part of that. Every healing that happens, listen, you may or may not agree with this. I don't care. I believe it's the Bible truth. Every healing that happens through you, I get to receive a reward from that. That's why I can rejoice when you lay hands on somebody. I might lay hands on 10 people and nobody gets healed. And you walk up and pray and the first person you pray for falls down and gets up healed. Then I go, well, God, why did God use me to heal people? No, I go, whoa! When I'm sick, I'm calling you. Come pray for me. Because I see what God is doing in you. And I want a part of that. I'm a spiritual glutton. I want everything. I want everything. I want everything. I'm not going to lie to you. I want every reward. I want every blessing. I want the favor of God. I want the anointing of God. I want it all. Everything that I can have, I want. And so if I got to honor you and say, go, and I get a piece of that, then that's exactly what I'm going to do. Because when I receive you, I'm receiving him. I hope this is making some sense. Okay. Is anybody in here like football? Who does? So I can know the 5 people I'm talking to. Okay. This may be dangerous to say here. I'm a rabid Oregon Ducks fan. Everybody, woo! Yes. In the game of football, a wide receiver, the one who catches the ball, if you hate football, it's the guy that catches the ball. If he's really good at catching the ball, they'll say, he's got great hands. Okay? He's got great hands. That guy's got great hands. We're going to pay him $25 million to do 3 months worth of work because he's got great hands. Okay? But how many of you know it doesn't take just great hands to be a great wide receiver in football? What do you do after you catch the ball? Then you need a leg to carry you. You need a brain to tell you which way to go and cut this way and cut that way. You need lungs to pump so that you can breathe, so that you can run. You need a heart to pump the blood throughout your body. So a man's got great hands, and let's say he's got great hands, but the whole body reaps the benefit of the great hands. When you go to the Hall of Fame, I've seen a lot of pictures of the Hall of Fame because I love football. Some people say I need to be delivered from it. I love football. And I look at pictures of the Hall of Fame, and I don't see anywhere in the Hall of Fame where it says, you know, Jerry Rice. Here's Jerry Rice's thing in the Hall of Fame, and it's just a set of hands. And then you go over to the kicker, and this guy was a Hall of Fame kicker, and there's just a foot. You go to a quarterback, and there's just an arm. When you go to the Hall of Fame, you see that whole, you see their whole picture. You see who they were from top to bottom. And that's the way it is in the Christ, in the body of Christ, is that that football player will get paid, his whole body gonna get paid $25 million a year because he can catch a ball with good hands. But his whole body reaps the benefit. That's what I'm trying to say, is in the body of Christ, we're missing this. We're missing this. And I'm telling you, the reason I'm preaching this is because I've been preaching this at my church. And first of all, when I preach about honor, everybody sits around and goes, well, you know what? I hope that my wife gets that. Because that woman needs to honor me. All you women that are laughing, my husband needs to get that. That man, that pastor needs to get that. I'm up here leading worship and he doesn't recognize what an amazing gift I am to this body. And we think in terms of how everybody else should honor us. But I want you to think tonight, no, we need to turn that around and start saying, how can I honor you? How can I honor my husband? How can I honor my wife? How can I honor my pastor? How can I honor my teacher? How can I honor the worship leader or my boss at work? Uh-oh. Prophets, righteous men, and a cup of cold water. That's everybody, right? How can I honor them? Not, it's not about me being honored. It's about me making sure that everybody that's around me knows that I see who God is in them. Do you know how powerful of a principle this is? Everything I've been saying to you, because sometimes people go, honor, that's the whole secular humanism thing creeping into the church. Let me tell you something. I'm going to share with you one Bible story that puts this all into perspective. The Bible said Jesus went into the town and it says he could not do many signs and wonders because the people said, is this not the son of Joseph? Are these not his brothers and sisters? And it says because of that, that Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God and fully man on this earth, operating in a full measure of the glory of God his entire life, could not do many miracles. You know what that's about? They didn't honor him for who he was. If I don't honor you for who you are, I'm not going to get what you can give me. Well, you have nothing to say to me, Jesus. You're just the son. Okay. Jesus is going to walk down the road a mile and he's going to raise somebody from the dead. Jesus is walking down the road and the woman touches the hem of his garment. He turns around and says, who touched me? Lord, everybody's touching you. Yeah, but somebody touched me with faith in who I am. That's what he was saying. He wasn't saying somebody touched me. There's crowds around Jesus all the time. If somebody touched me with faith, and he says, woman, according to your faith, let it be done to you. Now, I'm not talking about name it and claim it. If you didn't get healed, you didn't have enough faith, that's all bunk. What I'm saying is we operate in the realm of faith. Okay? And it's not faith in faith, it's faith in God. Okay? When I recognize that he's a healer, the song that we're singing, I'm going home and we are singing that song on Sunday, I think. Everything is possible because God is here and God is good. If I recognize that, then I have no problem believing that God can heal cancer. God can heal AIDS. God can heal your headache. God can heal your marriage. God can heal your messed up with your kids. God can heal your mess up with your parents. God can do anything because I honor Him because He is God. I recognize who He is. Okay? I need to recognize you in the same way. Listen, we are God's hands and feet on this planet. We are His plan. I said this last night, the church for all of its problems is the hope for this country. You are the hope for Shelton, Washington. You are. Don't sit around and wait for maybe the mayor, because he's a Christian, I guess, but that's good. So maybe the mayor, but don't sit around and wait for the government or the courts or that to make things right in Shelton, Washington. You're going to go make things right in Shelton, Washington. Let me just honor you and tell you what I see in you. You are city changers, world changers, healers. Well, I don't heal anybody. God heals. He uses you.
Yes, that's right.
I believe this principle in my church, so I try to encourage and bless and talk to the people in my church, and somebody will preach, because on Sunday nights I don't ever preach. We have all our other preachers, because we got a church full of preachers. And I let them all preach on Sunday night. I'll go up and say, that was an amazing message. And they'll say, that was all God. I say, it wasn't all God, because if it was God, it would have been way better than that. But you did pretty good. It wasn't all God. It wasn't God that put his hand on that person. It was you that put your hand on that person. And you released the faith. And you preached the sermon. And you sang the song. And you preached the gospel. And God used that to see people saved. And we need to not sit around and say, no, it's not me. It's all God. Because God could come do this himself if he wanted to. But he just decided he wasn't going to do that. He's going to use you. And so I just want to recognize that God is using you. I didn't even think about doing this. I don't even know how to do it. This probably sounds ridiculous. But I just want to honor you as a congregation tonight. Amen. And say, I see the fire of God in you. Amen. I see the passion. I see what God is doing. I see the ministries that are being raised up. I see that you guys are in a different place than you were last year when I came at this time. Amen. And I'm not just saying this. I'm telling you, I see it. I feel it. And if you got something to give to me, I want it. And you should be in the place where you can say to somebody else, what you need, I've got. If you've got joy and I don't have joy, show me the way. If you've got peace and I don't got peace, show me the way. If I'm struggling to find a word from God and I see that you've got a prophetic gifting, please pray for me. Okay? And then we all get to reap that. This last few verses, I'm going to read. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. I've been over that 15 times, but I'm trying really hard to make sure that we get this tonight. Do you hear what that says? We read these verses, you know, read the Bible through in a year and all that. We read these verses and we just blow by them. It says, the same God works in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To each one for the profit of all. To each one for the profit of all. Okay? So, here's the last thing. Let me read 41 and 42. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, surely I say to you, will by no means lose his reward. Okay? We're going to wrap up here. Let me finish by saying this. If you will make it a purpose in your life to honor other people, God is going to bless you far more than you ever thought He'd bless you. You'll find the blessing of God. You'll find the favor of God. You'll find the anointing of God like you've never found it before. I'm telling you the truth. Had that city said, you know, Jesus, I see who you are. Come in here and minister to us. We just finished in our Bible study. Remember when Jesus rebuked Capernaum and the other two cities that just went out of my brain right now? Chorazin and yeah, he rebuked them. What's the deal with Capernaum? Okay, when you start digging in to find Jesus... When Jesus was rejected at Nazareth, he went to Capernaum and he made Capernaum his hometown. In his own hometown where he did most of his miracles, rejected him. And God says, it will be worse for you than for Sodom. And when you look, I went and I printed out pictures for our Bible study. And I showed where these three cities were and there's nothing. There's nothing there. To this day, they are wiped clean because they did not respond to who Jesus was. They could have had the full blessing of God because they had the Messiah living in their town and they rejected it. Who is sitting in this church right now? Who's sitting in this church? As they rejected Christ, they lost their blessing. As we begin to reject each other, we don't reject each other outright. We just have little certain thoughts and things about each other that, well, they don't really have anything to offer me. We got this homeless dude that's been coming to our church. His name's Tom Sawyer. I kid you not. I didn't believe him until he pulled out his ID and showed it to me. I'm going to say this to sound really bad, and then I want to bring it around. Yeah. Tom Sawyer is a raging drunk. I mean, he's a homeless. He's been living under a shed down by the waterfront. He's a little guy. He's getting beat up all the time. Every time he comes, we're cleaning out his infected cuts because he's gotten beaten up again. He gets so drunk, he blacks out and doesn't even remember what happened to him. Yeah. And for almost 6 years, we've been trying to work with him and say, Tom, we need to get you off the streets. But how many of you know if you don't want to get off the streets, you ain't going to help anybody? It doesn't matter what you throw at him. So it's Tom, I'll pay for it. I'll take you. I'll do whatever I need to do to help you out because I want you off the streets because you're going to die. It got to the point when I'm saying to him, I'm literally having this conversation, Tom, you are going to die. I'm going to preach your funeral, Tom. Tom, I sit around and think what I'm going to say at your funeral. I mean, we're having these just like that because I'm trying to shake him to wake him. But at the same time, I've never seen a man with more of a servant's heart than him. He will come to our church. He will vacuum the floors. He will clean the toilets. He will empty the trash. He will do the stuff that nobody else wants to do just because he's got the heart of a servant. And I started recognizing that in him. And I just started speaking to his heart and speaking into his life and saying, Tom, man, I see what God wants. There's a prophecy over his life that you will be standing at a pulpit in a suit and tie and you will be preaching the deliverance gospel of Jesus Christ. And other people that are in your position are going to be set free because of you. And here we are looking at a dude that stinks. His hair is matted and I'm saying I'm not putting him down because I'm about to go somewhere good. And I mean, you would look at him and most people would cross the street to be afraid to even walk by him. But I started saying, Tom, I see, man, you are a servant. Man, God wants to use you. God wants to bless you. And it's not there. It's not out there that he's going to do that. He wants to do this. And finally, about a month ago or 5 or 6 weeks ago, he came into the church and he got beat up again and the police officer yelled at him. About 11 o'clock in the morning, he comes walking into the church and he sits down. And I'm having one of those moments when I've got like 75 things to do. And here comes Tom and I'm thinking to myself, oh, man. Because we're just going to end up having this conversation again. I'm going to sit here for an hour having the same conversation I've been having for 6 years. You guys know what I'm saying. I'm not putting him down, but I'm just like, man, I need to call this person. I need to do that. I need to go here for this. And So he comes in, he's like, this officer got all over me, told me I had to get out of town. And I got beat up again. So I went into my normal, Tom, you need to get into rehab. We'll pay for it. I'll take you there. God's got plans for your life. He's got purpose. And to be honest with you, I'm saying this stuff, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, I'm going through the ritual here. Because I've literally probably done this 75 times. Tom, you got gifts. God wants to use you. The alcohol's killing you. Somebody's going to pitch you off of that into the bay and you're going to die. You're going to be so drunk you won't even be able to get out of the water. You need to go to rehab. And in the middle of my spill, he goes, okay. So then I'm like, no, what I mean is you need to go to rehab. You need to go, because I'm not joking here. I'll take care of it. I'll do it. But you got to be honest. You got to be ready. I think I'm ready. I got to do something different. I've been thinking about life. I've been thinking about where I'm going. I've been thinking about maybe God could use me. So I seized on that. And I'm like, whoo, boom, 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 life, word, word, word. God's going to do this. He's going to do it. He's going to set you free. He's going to do all this stuff. Do you know within 1 hour, we were able to get him into, now, this is God. Because all along, we've got all these rehabs up and down the coast and over on I-5. And there's one particularly one that's awesome. But it can cost you $90 to $240 just to walk in and sit down and talk to them to see if they would even consider letting you in. So you may have paid $240, and our church we're not rolling in the bucks, you know. But I'm like, we will make it happen. Within 1 hour, we got him to rehab, and I called Maria, the evangelist. I said, Maria, we got to find this rehab. I'm putting the word out. We're just looking. She calls me right back and says, I found a rehab in Portland, and they'll let him in for free. What? Well, when will they take him? Because there's probably a waiting list to get in there if it's free. If you can have him here by 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll take him in. So he came in at 11. By 7 o'clock that night, myself and my wife and him, we threw him in the car. And we're talking about breaking poverty spirits and recognizing and honoring, right? He's got this whole, when he comes, he's got this whole thing. It's like a bungee cord. It's the craziest thing. It's like a bungee cord with a backpack, with another backpack, with two bags of cans, with another bag that's got, he goes around and he gets cigarettes out of the smoked cigarettes, and he opens them up, pulls the tobacco out, rolls them up into a new thing, and he smokes that. So he's got a whole bag of that. Okay? And so he's walking down the street like this, and he's got this whole thing trailing behind him. And I said, Tom, I said, we're going right now, because I don't give him time to change his mind. So I said, we got to go right now. We're going. Let's go. We're going to Portland right now. And I said, get what you need out of your bag, and the rest of it, just leave it here. We'll take care of it, because it's all... And so he gets all this stuff, and he picks up all this stuff, and he starts to walk across the street. I said, Tom, where are you going? He said, I'm going to go hide this over there. I said, Tom, you're never coming back to this ever again.
Amen.
And he went. It was like that shocked him. Because in his mind, he's still thinking, I'm going to go up there, and I'll do my thing, and I'll come back, and I'm still going to be on the street. I said, Tom, when you come back here, we will not allow you to ever go back on the street again. Okay? If you do this, if you take this seriously, if you get clean, you will not be back. So it was hard for him to give his bag of junk to us. And then on the way out of town, we have to pass by this little broken down shed that he's been sleeping under. And he says, well, I've got a radio in there, and I've got a lawn chair, and I've got a sleeping bag. I said, Tom, you're never going back to that ever again. I said, you've slept your last night under that shed. Because God's about to do something amazing in you. Okay, now I want to go. I'm going to wrap up here. But as we're going to Portland, we just keep talking to him, my wife and I. Just the three of us in the car for 4 hours. We just keep talking to him. Man, you don't know what God's going to do. It's going to be so awesome. You're going to get free of this, and they're going to show you how to get back to work, and they're going to do all this stuff. And by the time we are, you know, probably by Salem, he's saying stuff like, now, this is nothing to us, okay? But to him, he's like, maybe I can learn how to run a computer. Maybe I could get a job and have a place to live when I get back. And I'm saying, yes. That's what's going to happen, Tom. Because you're never going back to that again. Now, why did I just tell you that big, long story? I told you that because it'd be very, very easy to look at this smelly... I mean, at times, literally, I'm not saying this to be gross. I'm trying to give you the real deal. I'm not talking about some guy that temporarily lost his home. Okay, I'm talking about a guy that is down and out. I don't know if Pastor Larry ever met Tom or not. I don't remember, but... One guy tried to kill him, took out a knife and swung the knife at him, and he caught him down his hand. Okay, the man lives under a shed. And so we don't see him for 2 or 3 weeks. He comes in and his whole arm is swelled and infested and it's running. And I'm like, Tom, I got to take you to the hospital. This is bad. No, I'm not going to the hospital. So we had a little short Dana. She took him in the kitchen and put some gloves on and she's scrubbing, getting that out for him, taking care. I'm talking down and out. But our church has recognized that there's something in him that God wants to get a hold of. And when I see that, I can look past all of this other stuff and I can see who God has made him to be and what God can do in him and how God can use him. Now, the reason I'm telling you all this is because sometimes we have to look past each other. We have to look past who we are. We have to look past our attitudes. And we have to look past all that stuff so that I can see who God is in you. Because Tom Sawyer is going to preach in my church and people are going to get saved. And it's going to be a benefit to my congregation because that guy that I thought was going to get so drunk that he'd fall off in the bay and die is going to be preaching the gospel. And people are going to get saved, and they're going to come in, and we're going to disciple them, and we're going to raise up ministers, and we're going to raise up leaders, and we're going to raise up fathers and mothers and sons and daughters that are going to go out and do great things from this guy that most people would say, go get a job, you filthy scumbag. It's about honor. I challenged my church to start looking for opportunities to honor. And I want to challenge you to do the same thing. Make it a point. Because we sort of do it naturally here and there because we're Christians and we love each other. How many of you, when you're doing something and somebody just comes up and says, that is just phenomenal. That is amazing. That message you preached rocked my world. That guitar playing, I'm really saying this. That guitar playing, you guys, rocks my world. Because I'm a guitar geek. So I come here and I listen to this, and it does. I just love it. Everywhere I go, I brag on the worship team because I just love it. Man, it's so good. When people recognize that and say things, something comes alive in you, doesn't it? And that's okay. We shy away from that too. We think, well, that's not God. I just need to be humble. No, it's okay to let people speak into your life and say, I see what God's doing, and it encourages you to say, oh man, maybe I can go another day and I can do it again. Maybe God can take me elsewhere and He can do greater things. Okay? And again, let me say this. It's only going to be you that's doing the thing, and somebody else is going to be doing something else, but you get to receive their reward. That's a mind blower in God's kingdom. I get every reward from every person that I choose to honor. Make it a point. Last night, tomorrow night I'm going to preach another big revival type thing. Okay? I got a great message for tomorrow night. Tonight I want to be a little bit more practical. Because I feel like I walk into some churches and I see dishonor. And you can feel it. And you walk into another church and you see honor. And you can see the atmosphere that's created. What really got me on this is what really started me on this path of studying this out was taking our kids to a youth conference at Bethel Church. Okay, now, I don't know if you know Bethel or not. It doesn't matter. You might like it, you might not. I don't care. That's not what I'm talking about. Okay. When I walk into something they do, I see such a thick attitude of honor that everybody is bragging on the other person. Everybody is testifying not about what they're doing, but about what the other person is doing. Okay, and you see the leaders that will step back and let the not leaders step in and say or do something, and all of a sudden God just breaks forth. And I started looking at it and I'm going, what's different about that than everything else? And it's like, is it the musicians are better? Is it the preachers are better? Is it they have more money to do more stuff? They got light shows? What is the deal? It was like, it's none of those things. It's that every one of them sees who God is in the other one and they just release it.
Yeah.
Just release it. The football player who has good hands, his whole body gets 25 million. And God so loves this body. I'm talking this body. He wants to pour out His blessings on this body. And you have a big part in that. Let's pray. Father, first of all, let me honor this house. Let me say how thankful I am tonight for this pastor, for his wife, for the leadership team in this body who blesses me. Lord, every time I've come here, I've left here feeling better about my walk with God than I did when I came here. I left feeling more encouraged than when I came. There's an anointing in this house. There's an anointing for healing. There's an anointing for freedom. There's an anointing for worship. There's an anointing for the pure word of God in this house. And I want to honor that and want to thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, for everything that I've received from them and everything that I'm going to receive from them. Father, I pray as they move forward, God, that you would create a culture of honor in this church, an atmosphere, God, where gifts are released, where people that have felt bound up and felt fearful, they felt fearful to step out into the things that you've called them to, or they felt bound up because maybe of things that have happened in the past, God, that they would find a place where they can be released into the things that you have called them to do, the gifts that you willed to give them. Father God, that they would be released into those things, and they would be mentored in those things, and they would be encouraged in those things. God, and there would never be a jealousy or an envy or a division that would try to rise up where one would say that they're greater than the other. But there would be a sense of unity in this church where it's not dumbed down to the lowest denominator. God, but everybody is encouraged and challenged, God, to go to the highest level that they can go for your kingdom. And every other person in the church cheers them on and lifts them up and encourages them. And Father, at times if they need an adjustment, we'll rebuke them, God, and we'll counsel them because they want them to be fully into what you want. Release that in this church. And Lord, I know that it's already here, but Lord, you sent me with this word because you want to release it in a greater measure. God, the next time if I'm blessed to come back, that there will be a thickness in this atmosphere of the love, God, not just the churchy love where I love you, brother or sister, but a pure, true love of God, that they would lay down their lives to see the other person get to that place where you want them to be. That they would give their time and give their efforts to see somebody else excel and to see somebody else go to a higher level. Lord, and not for just this church, but in the body of Christ, I just want to repent tonight, Father God, for the times when we've allowed pride and we've allowed divisions and we've allowed disunity to come in and interrupt what you're trying to do. We ask you to forgive us, Lord. We ask you to just release, Father God. I'm standing in front of a room full of gifted, talented, full of people, full of abilities and anointings. People with something to say. And I pray that you would release that in the name of Jesus. Amen.